let's just start with the gospel brunch. What does that mean to you all? And just talk to me a little bit about how that came to be and how you put together what you decided to play today.
Well, our foundation is in gospel music, actually. That's where we met. We met in church, and our families kind of hooked us up and have always taken us to church. So when the Scruggs Fest, you know, they knew our foundation and what we do, and so they asked if we would like to do a Sunday gospel brunch. So that started last year for the first annual Carl Scruggs Fest, and then did so well last year. People were like, it's so intimate, you know, it's kind of broken down from what you guys typically do. And we just, it was one of our highlights of our festival.
Yes, no, it was awesome. It was awesome. Thank you. So obviously we're all here because of Earl. Can you sort of tell us how you feel like either you together or both separately have been influenced by Earl in your music and your life?
I kind of talked about it on stage a little bit about getting to meet Earl when I was really young. But, you know, I said something about seeing him on the Opry the first time. There was a collaboration that took over the TNN session for the whole hour. And it was Earl playing with Vince, Ricky, Allison Krauss, and Marty Stewart, and Roy Husky Jr. And they did the whole hour, and I, you know, back in the VCR days, the taping days, we recorded that, and I watched that so many times and just learned all the parts and all the instruments, and of course he was involved, and that really, you know, lit a fire under me to do that. I mean, growing up around Cleveland County, I got to go to Earl's brother's house, Horace, when he would come in and visit and jam. So I kind of got to know Earl early on.
Yeah.
And then get involved more and more in the recordings and everything with Flight and Scruggs, and then the career and how his wife led them all. And since the center's open, I've worked with them so much there in Shelton. So it's a big...
Yeah, and it was really special for me. You know, I remember hearing Earl as a kid. My grandpa was a huge bluegrass fan, and he'd sit out in his truck on Saturday mornings and listen to bluegrass music. So I got to know who Earl was at an early age. And then when I moved down to Terrible and being around the Shelby area, we got to do a homecoming show that Earl was, he came home to perform in Shelby. And so we got to do that, and we got to open for him, and that was a huge honor for us. Got to go to a little after party after the show and meet Earl and talk to him, and you know, it was really special to get to sit down and hear his stories and just one-on-one with him like that.
Absolutely. No, that's amazing. So how does performing at a festival like this differ for you all from a standalone show the most? I mean, obviously, I'm sure there's a ton of differences, but what stands out?
Well, this one's close to home. You know, like we said, we've been involved with the Earl Scruggs Center since day one, and I'm talking about the festival. And, you know, this festival come together, and it means everything about what Earl's career has, you know, from traditional music to him branching out to doing anything with the banjo that influenced Bela, Tony Triska, so many other ones, you know. So there's all kind of bands that are here that represents what the Earl Scruggs Review did. He did with his kids, you know, that was more jam bandy at the time.
Right.
Like Green Sky being here, the String Dusters, down to what's on the stage now with Josh Goforth.
Right.
You know, just straight all the time.
So. Well, he's all over the place.
Absolutely.
So it's a
that's
great
what's
mix.
Cool about this festival.
Yeah,
is the mix,
yeah, right? Absolutely. What is it like to work with your partner? And do you feel like that poses unique challenges or maybe even benefits? Maybe a little both.
Oh, it benefits, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We always say we wouldn't have it any other way, just because the creativeness between the both of us, like where he's weak, I'm strong, and vice versa, you know, so it goes hand in hand. We have such a respect for each other, and he's been in the business for so long, so it's easier on me, I guess, to learn more about the bluegrass world and music world in general, because he knew so much when we first met.
Coming in,
and
right.
I had no clue, you know, so it's been a great experience together, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
That's awesome. So you guys have been all over the place this weekend. What have you been most excited to share with fans this weekend?
The gospel brunch is probably our favorite.
Okay.
So, you know, we had a great set yesterday, and today will be a highlight too, because several of us are going to get to join Emmy Lou for the last couple songs of the festival, so that's going to be really good too.
You know, that's so exciting.
But hearing the fans talk from last year about what it meant for them this morning, the set that we did last year, and again today, we had a lot of folks come up to us about the meaning of that, so I guess that gets dear to our hearts, I guess, more than anything.
It's definitely really, like you said at the beginning, an intimate set. Like, it's so quiet, you know, people aren't really milling around like they usually are, and you can hear everything. So I think that's very unique from all the festivals I've gone to just have such a quiet, comforting, you know, like, intimate feeling
exactly.
to it.
Yeah, I think people, you know, they listen, of course, to all the music during the festival, but in more of those quiet moments like that, it's like you can take it in just a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know? So when people can stop and just maybe even hear the wind blow, like, while you're singing the music, like, it's just, there's something peaceful about it.
and taking in the lyrics and like thinking about them, I think. You have quite a few original songs on your newest album. Can you talk about whether there's a central theme or sort of an inspiration to those original songs?
Yeah, well, the title of the record is
"This Life We're Living."
We had a song on there called "My Life's Living Me." So sometimes, especially when it come out, I'd get them reversed every now and again. She'd have to correct me. But as I say, it means about the same thing.
Well, and it was just a little bit more insight to Darren and I to be able to put more originals on this album, "This Life We're Living," and kind of, you know, highlight who we are as people and the type of sound that we have created for ourselves and that we've always loved. And it, I think it draws inspiration from like all the people who have been influences in our music, you know, and you can hear that come out in a lot of the songs that we get to create together.
We were blessed to get to perform and be mentored by so many other ones. You know, we went out on the road with Jimmy Fortune for a while. I got to hear his stories. We was out with John Cowan for several years as well, doing that. Of course, we've been really close to Vince and Ricky and so many people at the Opry as well.
Right.
And during 2020, we got to write since the pandemic.
Right.
We got to be home more, so that's why there are more originals on this record because of that time.
That's interesting. And one of the things that I was asking people a lot, you know, as we were first starting to get back to festivals, was whether there were silver linings to that COVID time period where people were home. And it sounds like for you all, writing and being home more, so just taking some opportunities to do some things that you might not have had time if you had been on the road at that point.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, what do you have coming up? What's happening this fall?
This fall we're going out west here pretty soon to the Winfield Festival that's out there. And we're playing out near Phoenix, Arizona for the Picking the Pines Festival.
Okay.
And we're fixing to be in Indiana this week. We've got IBMA, the World of Bluegrass Convention, coming up. A lot more there in October that I know we're in the Southeast. We've got a wonderful Christmas record coming out.
Okay.
Probably in November.
And that's your first one.
It is.
That's exciting.
We've been doing hometown Christmas shows and, of course, the Opry Christmas shows for a long time, the last several years. And been asked to do a Christmas record for a long time.
Yeah, so it's going to be special. We'll try to do
it. I think we did a Christmas show the first time 12 or 13 years ago in our hometown. So. Finally got a record out 12 years later.
Good things are worth waiting for, I think, right? So last question, sort of a fun one. Can you tell us something fans might not know about you or something unexpected? You can take that any way you want, fun facts or just something that you're passionate about that you don't get a lot of time to talk about.
Brooke can drive a golf ball very well.
I'm very athletic.
We was in a tournament for the Scrub Center this weekend, and she's close to getting the longest drive.
I was.
That's impressive.
Well, it has its, I guess, benefits hitting for the women's team, too. So.
He left that part out.
But it's good to have a choice situation because I get to hit off of my ball.
So. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm very athletic. I love sports. And I would say for Darren, people don't know this a lot about him, but he's a great producer.
Okay.
And so he produces a lot of albums and has done so much more in the last couple of years for a lot of young and upcoming artists. And he's amazing in that. I think people don't know that about you.
Well, love being in the studio anytime. You always learn something anytime you're working with great people around musicians.
I love it. And I love you gave each other's fact. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for taking time to talk to me.
We made you wait this long.
That's all right. It was worth the wait, and it was wonderful to talk to you guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.